Good evening. You're watching The Digital Age, and I'm James Goodale. The New Hampshire primary provided a tremendous surprise. Obama, who was way ahead in the polls, didn't win. We want to ask the question tonight, will he win down the road? And particularly in light of the new campaign that uses all the new digital stuff. And to discuss that question with us tonight is Garrett Graff. He is the author of this book. It's called The First Campaign. It received one of the best reviews I've ever read in the New York Times, and we're pretty lucky to have you here from Washington. You also are an editor-at-large of The Washingtonian.
Yes.
And you're probably one of the first webmasters in the history of American politics because you were a webmaster for Howard Dean's gubernatorial campaign, and you worked in his presidential campaign, obviously. Okay, so we have this book, The First Campaign. It talks about, you say it's the first campaign because it's the first one, not on the net, but the first one with a BlackBerry, with the net, iPods, blogs. What else have I left out?
Well, the title of the book comes from the idea that sort of the 2008 will be the first campaign of the digital age, sort of exactly the title of the show. That it will be a campaign that's influenced by technology and conducted using technology, and also that technology will be both a policy issue and a campaign tool in it. That the while the candidates are campaigning on YouTube and using Facebook and MySpace and sending out emails to raise money online and all of these things, that they're also going to be talking about the issues of technology and how America can function in a globalized, wired economy in the coming decades.
Okay, well, let's pick off the first issue because that's the most current one, and we'll get to the second issue, which is who's our technological candidate. But the first issue is really hot. Now, we've had two primaries.
Yes.
So I'm thinking this is our first digital age campaign that uses everything in its mature form. And I want to ask you, let's take Iowa. What impact do you think it had in Iowa?
One of the things that has been really key to Barack Obama's success so far in these first two primaries and caucuses, it has been the incredible support he's gotten from young voters. He won Iowa by 40 points among people under the age of 30, I think it was. And so that's been a very, very key demographic for him. And now that's a demographic that he has been reaching using tools that weren't mature and barely existed 4 or 8 years ago. Social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace, and then also cell phone text messages, I think, have been very key to the work that Barack Obama has been doing. If you are under the age of 30 in the United States now, there's a 1 in 3 chance that you don't have a landline, that you only use your cell phone as your only telephone. And what Obama has been doing is sending very targeted text messages to the supporters who have given him their cell phone numbers, you know, reminding them to vote, telling them where to go for polling places, reminding them to get their friends to vote or to go out to the caucuses. And what we really saw in Iowa was that it was those young people who delivered the victory, and that it was really the young voters in New Hampshire that kept Obama competitive with Senator Clinton.
I want to come back to New Hampshire and compare it with Iowa, because one of the interesting statistics is that the young voters didn't show up as much in New Hampshire. We can talk about this in a minute, but clearly the numbers that Obama picked up from under 30 in Iowa were key. So let's just pick apart what you said. First of all, I guess your first point is really organizational, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the fundraising. And Obama has been a great net organizer. Is that basically your point?
Yes. He has been, I think that his campaign has been the best organized on the web of any of the 2008 candidates on either side. The one additional wrinkle that I'll throw in here is that Ron Paul's campaign, the congressman from Texas who's running on the Republican side, who has somehow actually almost managed to tie Rudy Giuliani in these first two contests, his campaign has almost no organization, almost no infrastructure, but that his supporters are rabid and wired and so have been able to do all sorts of things online, raising money for him being the notable one, setting once and then breaking on their own the one-day online fundraising record in November and December. And that has been a huge infusion of cash and support to Ron Paul's campaign. But the distinction that I draw in the book is that, you know, his campaign doesn't have to really understand what's happening online. And that's the beauty of the way that you can run sort of these distributed campaigns today, where, you know, Ron Paul's raised $6.2 million online in his latest money bomb, as his supporters call it.
$4 million one day.
And over six the second. And that was before his campaign office in New Hampshire had even installed telephones.
It's amazing that the fundraising abilities that the net gives you. Would you say, we've talked about Obama's organizational ability, would you say his fundraising ability on the net is better than his two opponents? That would be Mr. Edwards and Ms. Clinton.
Yes, is the
wonder why?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is he just surpassed the 500,000 person individual contributor number, which is an absolutely stunning number. Now, the big difference and what has allowed him to stay competitive with Hillary Clinton's fundraising machine over the last year is that he's raising it in small dollars from a very broad swath of people, and so every time that he does something incredible, these people can go online and donate another $25, another $50, another $100. Whereas one of the challenges that Hillary Clinton's campaign has run into is that she's been collecting most of her checks in the maximum amount of
For the presidential election,
yes,
too. I wonder, what, is she going to have to give them back if she doesn't make it? I know I'm talking
about
that.
Yes, it's sort of all sitting in an escrow fund unless it's needed. But that, you know, she can't go back to those donors again. She can't raise any more money from them than she has already raised. And so she is constantly having to broaden her fundraising pool, whereas Obama can just hit these people over and over and over again.
Now, do you think this is what Dean did so brilliantly in his presidential campaign? Do you think that Obama's doing this better than your patron saint, Mr. Dean?
I think he is. And what I think what we are seeing is that, as you sort of said at the beginning of the show, that we're just seeing these technologies mature, and we're seeing the way that that sort of society has embraced this technology over the last 10 years.
We got more people on the net, more people now to use it. We didn't have Facebook the last time around.
No.
Is Facebook a big deal for... I had my previous show, I had three guests on who were older than you, which is easy to do because... the New York Times reviewer said you were embarrassingly young.
Yes.
But anyway, we had three people on in the preceding show who were not so embarrassingly older, and I asked them if they were on Facebook. I was the only one who was on Facebook. But for what age group does Facebook work as a political tool?
Well, it's almost too early to tell.
Oh, it is.
We know that Barack Obama has been very successful gathering friends online. But we're just beginning to tell, you know, we're two contests into this now, whether that can turn into votes. And sort of the knock against internet campaigning has always been, you know, you can raise money, you can create friends, you can watch the videos online, but that doesn't get you to the polls.
Yeah, that's just what you could get them to the polls, but it doesn't get a victory at the polls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the cell phone text messaging is going to be so important, is
really?
That we are going to see... certainly over the course of Obama's campaign now, but then certainly by the general election in the fall, that while you can use the internet for fundraising and sort of voter contact building, that it's really going to be technologies like text messaging that get people to the polls and motivate them in sort of a get-out-the-vote manner.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because I'll sort of tell you the example. You know, imagine... The technology is not quite there yet, but it could very well be by November in the general election. You know, imagine if you got a text message on your cell phone at 5 o'clock on election day and it said, "Jim, here's the address of your polling place. Don't forget to vote on your way home."
Okay, now, I think that's a terrific case for getting people there, but there is this other factor that is hard to mesh with what you just said, which is that television seems to be playing a large role in the election, even though we have everything you said. And you would have thought, well, if everything's text messaging, da-da-da, what the heck is television doing? Well, a couple of things about television. First of all, if you look at the campaigns, they're spending 90% of their money on television. But why on television when you get all these people in? The second thing is that its impact. With respect to Hillary Clinton crying, it would be my judgment, just sort of reading what I read, that most people saw that on television in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. Now I suppose it's on YouTube. But all the people who are quoted in the paper, maybe they're the wrong people, say, when I saw her on television standing having a sandwich, that made a big impact on me. Mm-hmm. How do we mesh the two where we have the first campaign in the digital age, as you say, which uses all the implements of the digital age, but as this campaign is developing, it seems that television is still a major part of it. How do we connect the two?
I think that you're right that television is certainly a major part of this campaign. The candidates in New Hampshire aired 28,000 campaign ads in the weeks leading up to the primary in New Hampshire. But what I think that we're seeing is a cascade away from television that won't take place in a single election. It won't even take place probably in the next election, but over the course of several elections, as television as a medium evolves into a medium where you sort of choose what you want to watch and when you want to watch it, that this is going to be something that is going to play less and less of a role.
Okay.
The second thing, sort of as you said, sort of people are still watching things on TV. But what's interesting and different about this campaign is the ability to go back and watch something after it's happened. You know, if you missed Hillary Clinton crying or tearing up in New Hampshire just before the primary, you didn't really, you know, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, you wouldn't have had another opportunity to see it unless you happened to catch it on TV. Barack Obama's caucus victory speech last Thursday, He gave it at about 11 o'clock Eastern time. Who knows how many people were watching and saw it live then. Almost 1 million people have watched it on YouTube in the week since.
On YouTube. Oh, that's interesting.
And so I imagine that there's a good chance that almost as many people have now seen it on their own terms on YouTube in the week since it was delivered live than saw it you know, live on television.
Well, a million is a lot, but it's not as much as the 23 to 30 million that watch network television every night. So that's important. One factor that interests me with respect to this idea of TV is that while campaigns were spending a zillion in Iowa, when you looked at the results were disproportionate to the spending. That is to say,
yes.
Huckabee didn't have any money, and there he was making himself good. And McCain didn't have any money either. So the question there is, do you think that there's a lot of talking on the net that results from someone who went to a Huckabee event? I suppose could even post a video to his friend. So the net may have been more powerful for other reasons than you've stated in Iowa, but is there any way to tell? What do you think? There's no way to tell, though, is there?
Well, we sort of only know anecdotally what has helped Mike Huckabee sort of rise to the fore in the Republican nominating. But one interesting story that I think sort of tells us a little bit about how conversation and politics happens in 2008. Is that one of the key networks that have sort of been mobilized to support Huckabee was an evangelical Christian email list created to help promote the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ. And the person who created it, I forget the exact number, it had something like 30 million people.
30 million people getting this message?
Yep. And that he then sort of turned to back to that network that he had created a couple of years ago for the movie and said, you know, I really think you guys should check
30
out.
30 million people? And, well, now we're talking a lot of eyeballs.
And so that's
I mean,
one
a million
of those.
Is a lot, but it's not as much as 30 million equals the. So, but you say it's anecdotal. No one really knows. But what's your sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to make an argument. Let me just try it out.
Mm-hmm.
Putting aside the organizational stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is clear the internet helps, putting aside the money, which clearly the internet helps, and cell phones too, I would like to make an argument. We've had two primaries that, apart from that, in terms of image making, have been influenced by the net.
I think I can understand how you could make that argument in the final push. But I think what we have seen over the last year is a conversation that has very much taken place online.
Uh-huh.
And that a lot of what allowed Hillary to sort of change tacks at the last minute in New Hampshire and sort of open up her campaign was the result of criticism that she had been leveled against her online. She started this campaign a year ago with
In other words, you know, she doesn't get it. You know, if you sit around with, you're in a campaign, you're not going to tell Dean he's a screwball or whatever he is. I don't think he is, but, you know, you know that screen was a screw. You're not going to tell him, but if he sees it on the net, it's easier, sort of politically speaking, internally, to deliver the message. And
yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. It's interesting.
Hillary started with these sort of very wooden, very scripted listening conversations that she had posted as web videos. And she just got torn apart online for these. And people said, you know, we really want to see Hillary. We don't want to see this wooden machine of a Politico. You know, give us some sense of who you are. So she came back last spring with this spot-on, very funny parody of the Sopranos finale. And that she sort of created as a web video, and it got a lot of laughs, and it got a lot of people sort of saying, oh, you know, there's some humanity, there's some humor under that. And that we've sort of seen those moments sort of creep up over the last year, so that the criticism that she was getting in Iowa in the last couple of weeks before the caucus, I think was stuff that she'd been sort of hearing and listening and learning from over the course of the year.
Okay, well, let's talk about Mr. Obama.
Yes.
From what you said, a reasonable conclusion could be made that Obama is the digital age candidate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is he going to win? You don't have to answer that yes or no right now, because I'm going to ask at the end. But let's see how this helps, hurts, and, you know, what's going to happen here.
I think absent the internet, absent the online money that he's been able to raise, he had no shot.
Okay, conceded.
That.
Okay, but now he's here.
Now he's here. And one of the only way that he's going to be able to raise the money over the next couple of weeks to compete in the February 5th primaries in Florida and beyond is going to be through this online fundraiser.
Okay. I would agree with that. I think everyone's going to, well, not everyone, but anyone's looked at it. See, he's really in a good position to raise money and better than maybe anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The next thing is that the beauty of the internet today is that it allows you to do mass organization very easily and very cheaply.
Right.
And if you are turning to look at a 19-state, almost national primary on February 5th, then one of the only tools that he's going to be able to have to build a 19-state network in the space of the 3 weeks that he currently has is going to be to turn to the web and to talk to people online and to really sort of build a distributed network.
Let me ask you something about Obama. Well, the surveys from New Hampshire show that he's the brie and cheese candidate. That is to say, he appeals to the college-educated plus, and that he did not do well in the cities. He did not do well with blue-collar types, and that you can do well with brie and cheese, but to win, you need the blue-collar types, or perhaps you need a heavy black turnout. Now, How do we deal with that question? Because one would have thought perhaps the lower economic stratas in our society are not as net savvy as you are, for example. So how does that impact on Barack's campaign? How does he deal with that? Does the net help him, or does it not make any difference? Yeah.
Well, when you talk about him winning the cities, just one point that I would add there is that New Hampshire cities are sort of anomalous in the United States in that they're white cities.
Right.
That, of as you get out of New England, I think he's going to do a lot better in urban areas simply because there'll be a larger
minority
population.
That's a very good point. But how about, let's say everybody wears a blue collar, white, black, or Hispanic, whatever, mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. What about his appeal to the blacks and Hispanics and lower class whites in terms of, I would think, even his economic message? How does the net help him with that?
I'm not sure that across the board the internet will help Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I think it will be incredibly key to turning out, and he hopes in increasingly large numbers, the young population, the under 30,
right.
Maybe even under 35 crowd, and that is demographically sort of the only group that he won by a wide margin Iowa and New Hampshire.
But in New Hampshire, he won by even a little less, I would say. Why was that? The campaign said itself was disappointed at the Dartmouth schools. They must have been drinking beer or something.
One thing that I think we didn't really realize coming back from Iowa and New Hampshire sort of as early as they are in January is that a lot of colleges weren't back in session
yet. They were in session.
And so in Iowa, we actually saw some colleges open their dorms early so that students could come back and caucus.
Right.
In New Hampshire, the same thing. There were a couple of major colleges there that weren't yet open yet from the holiday break, because normally the Iowa and New Hampshire primaries and caucus are at the end of January instead of the beginning of January.
Well, now, the under 30, under 35 group is heavily Democratic. It's heavily into the net. They voted in greater profusion than they did the last time than they did in 2002. Or 2000, I should say. You're a member of that generation. Do you think they're all going to flood out, or is this we're going to be let, us older types are going to be let down again by the youngers? Only in terms of participation, because I have no view on the campaign.
I think that you might be, you might be right that currently the young vote appears to be much larger in 2008 than it was in 2004, 2000. In Iowa, the under 30. Voter turnout was three times what it was the last time that there was a caucus. And if that holds true across the next couple of states,
then
they're going to be just fine. What's going to be interesting over the next couple of election cycles in the United States is that sort of this, no one has really settled on a name for it yet, sort of the millennials or the next generation, the net generation. Sort of the people born between 1977 and 1996, that's actually a group that's larger than the baby boomers. And so as they sort of mature and come to voting age, that's going to be a very powerful voting block that will be incredibly wired. I mean, the Wired magazine actually had this great piece where they sent one of their staff, one of their writers, to compete in the competitive texting competition. I think it was actually here in New York, and he went in. He was 25, and the 15-year-olds there said, "Don't even bother trying to compete. A 25-year-old is too old to win this." And who ended up winning was a 13-year-old. And so it's a different mindset that's coming up today.
Okay, I want to come back at the end here. We're getting there, but to ask you, is all this going to happen soon enough to help Obama? But let's. You've got a big part of your books about many issues, globalization, technology. Do you think that Obama has the best technological plan? In other words, you say, for example, look at India. There's 25,000 graduates of institutes of technology working in the United States. Maybe we need them here. Does Obama have anything? Is he the best? How do you rate him?
Barack Obama is actually, in terms of my book, sort of looking at technology and globalization and sort of how America will compete in the global economy, I think the best candidate out there. He actually went to Google at the end of November and gave a speech sort of laying out his tech and innovation platform. and announced that he would hire the first CTO, the first chief technology officer for the United States.
Oh, he did?
If he's elected.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So that's very, very good. Now, let's ask ourselves, is all this going to happen soon enough? In other words, you made a statement, you know, look ahead another 4 years, and was that 35? That's a 39-year-old group, mm-hmm. right? And most of that group's going to be incredibly wired. Let me ask you this. Would you have any doubt in your mind if this campaign was held 4 years ago, 4 years from today, that Obama would win?
No. I think that he would... His vision and the way that he thinks about the future will be an increasingly compelling message in the future. I make the point in the book that the challenge of this first campaign is going to be that we have all of these issues ahead of us that we need to address now before they become even more difficult to solve than they are today.
Well, in your book, which was written in November, you said, I can't make up my mind right now. You're like the voters in New Hampshire and Vermont, Iowa. No one can make up their mind. And when they make up their mind, they don't tell the pollsters, and everything's all screwed up. And so, of course, I want to ask you, have you made up your mind who you're for?
Well, I argue in the book that I think that Democrats have a much greater advantage in this playing field and in this campaign in terms of their ability to look ahead to the challenges and the ways that government needs to respond to make America competitive in the coming decades. But I also say the point that I think that a smart, savvy, independent-minded Republican like Mike Bloomberg could have a tremendous impact in this election if he so chooses.
You still haven't made up your mind, but you've got to answer this question. Will Obama win?
I'll go out on a limb today.
Yes.
And I say I think he will be the nominee.
Well, that didn't answer the question. I mean, you win the primaries. Okay, that's fine. That's part of it. But will he win the election?
Sure. I think we're going to see just this fascinating campaign play out over the course of the year. And if this week answered a single question, it's that this isn't going to be easy, it's not going to be cheap, and it's not going to be short.
Hey, Garrett Graff. Hey, thanks for coming by. That was great fun.
A pleasure.
Right. And thank you for coming by. And come by next week and learn more about the digital age. For the digital age, I am James Goodale. Good night.